Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In previous programs, we decided to use so many scriptures that teach that baptism is essential to salvation. When we obey the Lord's command to be baptized, we change our relationship with God. Whereas we are out of Christ and lost, at baptism we enter into Christ and the company of the saved. It is in baptism that we meet the saving blood of Jesus Christ, and our old sinful allegiances are cut, and our new life in Christ begins. When one believes that Jesus is the Son of God, repents of his sins, and confesses his faith in Christ, and is baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, God adds him to his church, having washed away his past sins, counting him as his spiritual child, and the person starts toward heaven with the Lord. But baptism means other things also. It means assuming obligations and responsibilities that he had not assumed before he was baptized. Now, surely he was answerable unto God, but before baptism he had not decided to take on what God assigns him. While baptism is that final step that takes one into Christ, it is the initiating step for the rest of his life to live in keeping with the purposes and in harmony with the accomplishment of baptism. Because of baptism, the new Christian must walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6. There is a new relationship that begins at baptism, friend. He is now in Christ. The old life of sin is put behind him. At baptism he is given, as it were, a new and clean piece of paper upon which to write the record of his life. We assume the obligation, then, to live a life in obedience of righteousness, and this matter must be taken seriously. You see, the former life of sin, the old man, is put off, and the new man is put on. Paul asked, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Romans 6 and verse 2. If one continued to live the same old sinful life after baptism that he lived before being baptized, he would live inconsistently with the cleansing of baptism. Rather, we are to abstain from evil lust, denying ungodliness, worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. We are to be transformed. We are to be living sacrifices for God, Romans chapter 12. Again, this must be taken seriously, friend. Nothing is more jarring or reprehensible than a baptized person living a sinful life in sinful relationships. Baptism for the remission of sins gives us a new life, and we are duty-bound to live that Christian life. Because of baptism, we must work for unity in Christ. After Paul tells us that we are baptized into Christ, he added, "For ye are all one in Christ," Galatians 3, verse 28. At baptism, we are baptized into the one body, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. When we are baptized, we are added to his church, Acts 2, 47. The church is the body of Christ, Ephesians 1, and there is one body, Ephesians 4. There are many members of this body, but only one body. Paul corrected the Corinthian Christians for divisions that existed among them, and he taught them to be united. Paul told the church in Philippi, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Philippians 1. Again he said, "Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." Philippians 2. If one allows himself to become the source of strife and division and dissension among the truth and against the truth, being contentious and stubborn, demanding his own way in matters of opinion with the attitude that demands conformity to him, or he will ruin, lacking the cooperation with his brethren, he's forgotten something that was significant about his baptism. And that is the duty of every child of God to stand fast in the faith. And one part of that is to work for the peace and the harmony and the oneness and the togetherness and the unity in the body of Christ, based, of course, upon thus saith the Lord. So serious is it to create divisions by false doctrines and self-appointed opinions, Paul warned. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which ye have learned, and avoid them, Romans 16. Such do not belong in the ranks of the faithful. In a season of digression, such as has existed from time to time in several decades among brethren, such people are more numerous than we would like to think, but they do not serve the Lord faithfully in behaving that way. Friend, let's understand. Baptism means you assume the duty and the privilege of worship. One who has never been baptized, of course, has a duty to worship God, because he has the duty to be baptized, and the baptized must worship God. A nonsensical doctrine now is heard among some that everything one does is worship. Well, that's not so. Such false teachers do not understand the distinction between glorifying God and all that they do and the worship of God. Oh, yes, to be sure. All worship properly conducted glorifies God. But we glorify God in our life and in our service, and that's not the same as worship. All worship is service, but not all service is worship. This is so obvious that it seems nobody ought to have trouble with it, except those who want to inject into worship innovations unauthorized of God and lay the foundation for it by falsely claiming that everything you do is worship, and therefore anything you want to do is accepted. Those baptized in Acts chapter 2, they worship, and the Christian is the only one who has the right to call God as his spiritual father. How could a father of a child of the devil call God his father? How could one who has rejected the death of Christ properly observe the Lord's Supper? How could one who has never obeyed the gospel sing the songs that speak of obeying the Master? Dear friend, just as it is inconsistent for one who persists living in sin to try to worship God, it's inconsistent for one who has been washed clean by the blood of Christ to neglect or to refuse or to try to make substitutions for the worship of God. We are to worship God in spirit and in truth. That means we're to have the right attitude, we're to have reverence toward God, and we're to do those acts that are authorized in Scripture in worship to God. It's not left up to man to decide how to worship God. God has decided that, and God has told man what he is to do in worship unto him. We're to be present at the assemblies of the Lord's church to worship God, offering spiritual sacrifices, worshiping then in spirit and in truth. But because of baptism, we're obligated to grow spiritually once we've been baptized. You see, we are born into the family of God at baptism, and as surely as a baby is born, is expected to grow, so we're expected to grow as a child of God. Growing is not an optional matter. It's a command, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. Nobody considers a newborn child mature. No recently baptized person is a mature Christian. Baptism, however, is not the end of things. It is the beginning of his life before God in Christ. Now, there are certain things, of course, that one must know in order to become a Christian. Doubtless, many have not been sufficiently taught. They may have been immersed in water, not realizing the step that they were supposed to be taking. But one does not have to know everything to start being a Christian. but he cannot be content to remain a babe either. We are led to serve God and to feed on the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2. To refuse to study the Bible, to refuse to take nourishment, certainly we cannot grow in the Lord. This is why faithful gospel preachers of the truth urge brethren to be present at the Bible study periods, at the worship services, in gospel meetings, in studies at home, in taking correspondence courses, reading good and sound biblical material. Hebrews chapter 5 talks about those who should be teachers, but they have not grown sufficiently to be able to be teachers. They're still unskillful in the word. They're still babes, not able to take meat. They're still living on spiritual baby food. Now, do not misunderstand, friend. Baptism is very significant. It is essential to go to heaven because the Lord made it a condition, an act of submission and obedience to His will. But let us not attribute to baptism what it does not accomplish. Let us realize that the duties that we have, we assume at baptism. It's not the all-time cure for all things for all of the rest of life. It has its most important place, to be sure, in God's scheme of things. But when one is baptized, he must realize that this places him in a relationship and a situation with God that imposes duties and responsibilities that he dare not shirk. Too many teach that we cannot fall, but after baptism, many involve themselves so little in their duties that they act like they think they cannot fall. But that's a false doctrine. People can fall. We read in the Bible those who have fallen, and we can fall also if we do not assume the obligations of a Christian once we have been baptized. In summary, because of baptism and being forgiven of past sins, we should strive to live a life that's void of sin. Because of baptism, we are united in Christ, and we should work for the unity of the body, the church, on the basis of truth. Because of baptism, God becomes our spiritual Father, and we have the privilege and the duty to worship Him, but to worship Him in the way that He has directed. Because of baptism, we are born again, and we are new babes in the family of God. But we also, at baptism, assume an obligation to do the things that are necessary to grow spiritually in the Lord. We are so blessed that God has given us His Word. He's told us how to be saved. He's told us how to become His children. He's told us of our duties and responsibilities once we have been baptized into Christ. Oh, I know that there be those who say baptism doesn't have anything to do with your salvation, but that is as false as a $3 bill. The Bible makes it plain that baptism washes away sins, but that's because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we reach when we're baptized into Christ. And when we are baptized into Christ, we go down into the body, a lost sinner, but we come out and we live for a newness of life. We're raised in the likeness of the resurrection of Christ, and we are to take the salvation that we have and exercise ourselves in discharging the duties and responsibilities as a child of God. If we will do that, when time comes for us to leave the walks of this life, all will be well with our soul. We appreciate you listening to A Burning Fire. This is A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.